Well, Keith, you know this stuff. So I called the School of the Ozarks, asked Brad, bring us somebody knowledgeable, upstanding, educate us. So I want you to meet a friend of mine, Coach Warfield, Charlie to be exact. Charlie, welcome to Good Morning Ozarks.
Hi, Charlie.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's a pleasure to have you. Boy, today they have been building up for it for a long time. And you talk about people traveling today, and my goodness, to see something that we don't see very often. 17 was the last time, right?
Yeah, it's a really unique event, and so I'm not surprised so many people are traveling for it. The last time it came through this area, and it's pretty rare that it would be this close together, it was 2019, and we had a fantastic time going up to Kansas City to view the total eclipse up there.
Huh. So we had one in 2019. I was thinking it was 2017 was what I was
saying. You're right. It's 2017.
That's okay.
I'm just nervous being on the radio.
Hey, don't worry about it. Just relax.
Hey,
kick
look,
back.
Just treat it like you're playing Bradleyville or somebody in volleyball. You'll do just fine.
I understand that there is a lot of areas that are going to be cloudy today, but they'll still see something, right?
Well, we're hoping to see quite a bit today. And one of the cool facts that I learned recently was because of the drop in temperature, some of the clouds that are due to just to regular evaporation with, you know, condensation in the air, because of the temperature change, it's not going to be as much of that going on.
Really?
And so some of those really light, wispy clouds might even go away. Now, the bigger atmospheric clouds for rainstorms and all that, I don't think we'll have a chance there, but it's looking like a pretty good forecast, so we're excited.
A question that I've asked, my son traveled to Searcy, Arkansas, where my sister lives, and they're going to be in the total eclipse, I understand. But what percentage of it will we see?
So in Branson, it's right around 98 or 99% of total coverage there. I'm sad to say the difference is going to be like night and day, though.
That's what I
understand. You're either hidden in the shadow or you're not. So there's still plenty that you can do with a partial eclipse. If I were staying in Branson to view it, I would definitely go through the kitchen, get a colander or something with tiny little holes in it, and I'd make myself a little pinhole camera outside. And you can project the shape of the eclipse through that tiny pinhole, and it'll make an inverse image on the ground, or get a white sheet of paper, and that can be a really fantastic activity for kids.
Well, I love that colander idea, Keith. That's a good one.
It's a good one.
And yeah, you'll see it coming through the pinholes in the leaves too. So if you go around trees, maybe you've seen pictures like this online from the last one, but you'll see those little crescent shapes projected through the trees.
Charlie, now I'm traveling today with my wife. We have a little trip to Springfield. Is Springfield about the same 98 to 99%?
It's a little bit further north and west of where the moon's shadow will be, so it's going to be a little bit less than that. But you'll still see partial eclipse, phenomena. I wouldn't look at the sun though without eclipse glasses, even though the moon is covering up, more than half the sun. That's not safe to do with your eyes. It's still extremely bright. We don't have a really good sense of how bright the sun is for how small it is.
And I understand even if you're in 100, you need to have glasses to look up at the circle that
you
left, right?
Yes, you can take off your glasses only during totality, only when the moon is completely covering up the sun. Any other time, you'd risk going, damage to your eyes.
And Keith, tell people how important that is, because don't fluff this off, folks.
Listen closely to Keith.
He's an expert in losing your eyesight.
Well, and not so, because of looking at the sun, but from other issues. And let me tell you, living with that for 42 years, it changes your life, so you don't want to go there. And glasses will help that situation. But I think I remember when I was a young guy in California, we must have had some kind of eclipse, because I remember they said, take a shoebox and put paper at one end of it, poke a little hole in the other end of it, and then stick the hole up toward the sun. The sun then will be projected on that piece of paper at the other end of the shoebox. And we did that. And that was pretty cool.
Look at it indirectly, but unless you have special filters that are blocking out more light, then, your regular sunglasses just aren't going to cut it.
Yeah, there's a difference between regular sunglasses. You say, oh, my sunglasses are dark. You can't. No, not when it comes to this.
I want to make a comment before we ask Charlie some really deep questions today to help you and I, and that is, folks, make sure that the glasses that you bought are safe. There have been a lot of recalls.
Oh, yeah.
Take a look at the glasses. Take a look online. Make sure that the glasses you purchased are good, because I just found this out yesterday. Amazon had a problem and others. And so be sure and check it out. Don't get caught in one of those situations to where you're depending on something and you didn't do your research and find out there's an error. So be sure and take a look at that.
Absolutely. Now, the basic idea I think everybody has, the moon comes between the Earth and the sun. Is it visible for, we're talking about from Texas up to Maine or what have you, but does it stay visible as it leaves Canada? And I mean, you know, if you traveled it, where would you see it in?
Sure. So it's for a lunar eclipse where the Earth is between the sun and the moon. Our shadow is cast onto the moon, and anybody on the nighttime side of the Earth can see it. If you flip it, if it's a solar eclipse, the moon's going to be between us and the sun, and it's casting a much smaller shadow. The shadow of the moon is about 100 miles wide, and that will pass coming from Mexico all the way up toward Maine. Now, there's the full shadow, the umbra of the moon, is about that 100 miles wide, but the penumbra, which is a wider area that is where you would see the partial eclipse, is much wider than that. And so that less full shadow is much wider, and we're going to be in that for a couple hours, maybe around 2 hours.
Now, that's pretty neat. Now, we're going to take a quick
but
break.
But the total is less than that, right?
Yeah,
it's only about 4 minutes.
Totality around us will be about 4 minutes. The closer that you get towards that center line, you'll be closer towards 4 minutes. And if you're just south of maybe Harrison, you'll get over maybe 2.5 minutes.
You know, Keith, when you think about this for just a second,
cool.
You know, 4 minutes is a lot. When it goes dark, that's a long time when you look at it. You think of a sport when there's 4 minutes left in a basketball game or something, that clock goes pretty slow, Keith.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to take a break and come back. Charlie, we got some other questions to ask you. We want you to treat us like your class and tell us some things maybe from your instruction that we don't know. Wait a minute. He doesn't have time to do that, Keith.
No, he doesn't.
We'll be right
not.
Back on Good Morning Ozarks. Charlie Warfield, he is a great guy. Coaches at the school. Are you still doing volleyball, Charlie?
Still coaching volleyball in our junior high season right now.
Oh, my goodness sakes, love. How many great games did we have and travel and ups and downs and a lot of fun, and you're a great guy and a good coach. And
it was a blast seeing you there.
And let me ask one thing before we lose you. Remind me your sports team in football that you follow.
I'm a Chicago Bears fan.
Really?
Key.
How about college?
The Fighting Illini weren't too great when I was growing up, so I'm still open to finding a new college team.
Nebraska.
Nebraska.
My. Yeah, let's go with Nebraska.
I could be a Husker.
Yeah, you could be a Husker.
Charlie, go into
I'll recruit you.
Go into Brad Dallas' office and sit down and say, Brad, they've asked me some questions I couldn't answer when I got to college. But the Chicago Bears thing still got me befuddled.
Well, I didn't know that Kansas had a football team until I was probably 25. So.
You know what? You're a smart man. I didn't either, and they didn't either. Hey, it's Good Morning Ozarks. More information on the total eclipse coming up right here on Good Morning Ozarks. Charlie Warfield from the School of the Ozarks. We'll be right back.
Oh, yes, we will at 7:16. Well, it is 39 degrees at 7:18 this morning. Charlie Warfield from the School of the Ozarks, our expert on the lunar eclipse today. Well, the solar eclipse. The moon gets in the way. You can't see the sun behind it and that kind of stuff. Make sure. You can't say enough. Don't look directly
Please.
At the sun unless you've got some really approved, authentic, official eclipse sunglasses.
I saw an article, and maybe you know this answer, Charlie. Can a welding helmet, can you use it?
I've seen mixed feelings about that. It's designed for that sort of thing. I would make sure to check your specific make, model, whatever standard of glass that you have against what the solar eclipse glasses are. If it were me, I'm not going to take that chance, but I think they're, I mean, my eyesight is too important to me, but if that's something that you're willing to do and you know more about it than me, that's not quite my area, but I'm sure there's a research that you could do on that.
Well, Mary, you and I have two colanders, and they're the green ones in the kitchen, so if you put them out on the counter, we'll be standing out in the yard looking through a colander. I love that. Yeah. Charlie, take Keith and I for just a minute and walk us into your classroom and sit down and walk us through a few points of things of interest that we might not know about or don't think about, that we get tips from the news lines, but which ones are those, right? Would you do that, please?
Yeah, so the partial eclipse is going to start around 12:30. Maximum eclipse for us in Branson will be at 1:53. And then we'll continue to see partial eclipse after that until about 3:10. And so for that 2.5 hours, there's plenty of changes going on. In the partial phases, there'll be temperature changes, of course. So in totality, in that area where the full shadow is going across the Earth, the temperature will drop anywhere from 5 to 15 degrees Fahrenheit, which is pretty substantial. My students, you know, they can tell a difference of 5 degrees in my class. They're either too hot or too cold. So 10 to 15 would be something to pay attention to, and something that you could actually observe if you're thinking about it. You might be too caught up in the moment to take a look around, but there's more going on than just the moon covering up the sun.
How long will our 97% or 98% last?
That's a great question. I'm sure it will be, it's going to be similar to that 4 minutes, that totality would be maybe down closer in Arkansas. But I couldn't tell you, I'd have to do some more research to figure out, well, when does it drop past 90%?
Is it going to be dark enough that the streetlights will come on?
In totality, it would be.
But for us?
I'll have to check on that.
I got two questions for you to research.
Yeah, that's good. Now, we have a gentleman coming tomorrow that has his own science and faith museum. I don't think they call it a museum, Keith.
Oh, over in Tennessee.
So he'll be with us
Mr.
tomorrow.
Reeves. Mm-hmm.
He's traveling to Texas for the total eclipse.
Oh, he is. Okay.
And tell us what he said about totality.
Well, he said there's a huge difference between 98 mm-hmm. and 100. That you know, that you can't, you say, well, I got 98%, I'm sort of okay. But he said if you ever see both of them side by side, there's a huge difference.
Yeah. And you can only really, there's three layers of the sun. There's the photosphere, the bright disk that we see in the sky. But there's also the chronosphere and the corona. And you can't see those typically because the photosphere is just so bright. But when the moon is covering up the sun, you know, and it has to be totality, you can actually see that reddish chronosphere, and then the broader corona, maybe like you could think of the atmosphere of the sun almost, around that. You can only see it during totality.
And that's kind of like a circle. And, again, we don't want to look at that directly, right?
Well, the actual photosphere with the, you know, really bright disk, that's what we think of as the sun, that you can't look at without, you know, protective eyewear. But the corona of the sun, you'll see these wisps, almost strands, projecting outwards from the eclipse. Maybe you've seen photos of that online, but it's that iconic solar eclipse picture.
I understand to take pictures, you even need a filter for your camera.
Well, your camera's basically, it's a lens. It's focusing down light onto a smaller, you know, sensor. So, you know, think about a magnifying glass, you know, burning wood and such. I don't think you really want to be burning your camera sensor.
No, probably not.
Charlie, a couple of things have come to me. First of all, how far south into Arkansas are you all going to watch the total eclipse?
Our school is traveling down to Marshall, Arkansas, so an hour and 20 minutes, and from there we'll have over 3 minutes of totality.
Well, I tell you what, that's neat. The kids will enjoy that.
Oh, they'll love it.
And what a memory. Now, what about some of the headlines that we read? Renters have a worse time. Renters, Keith.
What's that got to do with the eclipse?
Well, what does everything else have to do with it? All these atmospheric changes, are these just rumors or some of this factual, all these things we're reading about what it causes, or what do you think?
Does the eclipse mean that I'm going to have a hard time renting an apartment?
Yes, something like that. I mean, it's unbelievable. All these little things that it says.
So there's a difference between astrology and astronomy. Astronomy is, you know, looking at the geometry of the sky and of the heavens. And astrology would be the belief that the motion of the sun, moon, and planets dictates something about my everyday life. And so I think we would all be in agreement that that's superstitious, but you know, on the other hand, the sun is something in the sky that does dictate quite a bit about my daily life. So that'd be a funny debate to get into.
It would be. But have you read some of these things, Keith, at all?
Yeah, there's all kinds of. There is a soft line people want to make between astronomy and astrology.
I love what he just said.
I don't think it is a soft line.
As for me, it's astronomy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not astrology.
Can you imagine somebody who's
cross fingers. Tell him what we saw when I picked you up this morning. I said, well, there it is, Keith.
Well, he saw the sun just peeking its head over the horizon because we're traveling east. And, you know, it's just right in his eyes. So he was saying,
what I say to the sun.
He said, look out. Your time's coming
today, right,
buddy.
You're in my eyes now, but you're getting blocked.
Can you imagine if somebody has lived in a cave for the past years and they are on the desert or on a boat in the ocean by themselves, and all of a sudden this phenomenon happens? Whoa, would that scare you?
Yeah, there's that story about Columbus in the early 1500s, maybe 1507, where he used the prediction of the eclipse to scare the natives to show that he had real power. He'd say, God is going to be so displeased with you. So he's going to make a sign and show in the sky there's going to be a circle of fire, you know, the sun blotted out, kind of thing. And so that prediction, the eclipse happened right on schedule, and that's one of the legends of Columbus.
Hey, I didn't know.
I'm loving that one. Okay,
funny.
Close with this.
My.
Yesterday I had a post-Easter message at the Rose House, and it was called Six Miracles of the Cross. Because I had a guy doing the music service on Easter, it gave me the time to follow up with his key.
Sure, sure.
So I want to talk about the sixth hour when Jesus was on the cross. The sixth hour. Mr. Warfield from Illinois, Bears fan, we got all that. Good volleyball coach, and you didn't say Kansas played football. You're a smart man. What is, in the scriptures, what is the sixth hour?
In the sixth hour, so what I'm familiar with is that when Christ was on the cross, you know, breathing his last breath and it is finished, that the ground shook and the sky went dark, and I think a lot of modern people would say that there was an eclipse, that the moon was covering up the sun, and maybe that was creation's way of mourning a little bit. Of going dark, but I think there was something supernatural going on at that moment.
Absolutely 100% correct, and it wasn't a typical little eclipse like we're talking about, Keith. It was for 3 hours.
Yeah.
The sixth hour is noon. Keith, I didn't know that. The sixth hour is noon and lasted till the ninth hour. 3 hours, Keith.
Wow.
Now, that's a different drop of temperature and a salvation of the world because of that.
Absolutely.
Charlie Warfield, you did great. We'll have you back again on the next eclipse.
Yeah, when's the next one? When is the next one, Charlie?
Well, that's great. The next one is in about 20 years.
Well, wait a minute.
Hey, I'll only be 97.
Hang on a second, Keith. Let's either have him back for that or when the Bears go to the Super Bowl.
That'll be longer than that.
Now, if you're...
It might be. Well, just to be clear, in Branson, make sure that you're doing some activities for the partial eclipse, pinhole cameras, the animals are going to know about maximum eclipse coming before we will. So maybe about 15 minutes before 1:53, be out there listening. Listen for crickets. Look for birds heading back to their nests. Still should be a good time here in Branson.
Can you imagine about 30 minutes later, them birds come out and go, man, that was a short night?
Yeah, short nap.
What about our dog who always gets a treat before he goes to bed at night?
He's going
to
get an extra treat.
Yeah. I would treat your dog. Why not? It's a special day.
Hey, you all have a safe trip, and more than anything else, the fact that you're showing God's magnificent creation to your students is a big thing.
Yeah.
Thank you for
What are the odds that the moon would be 400 times smaller but 400 times closer?
Wow.
My. Charlie, good job. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Charlie.
Well, tell him where he can hear this and play it for the students.
Yeah, you can go to klfcradio.com, and on your trip down to Marshall, you could play it for him over the bus PA.
All right.
All right, buddy.
Yeah,
God bless you.
Good morning.
All right.
See you, buddy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie.
Bye-bye.